Well, in 2025, the Ten Commandments are in the news again. Well, last time the Ten Commandments were in the news was back in 1980. Some of you remember that. Some of you were not born then. Where five black-robed Supreme Court judges voted to take down the Ten Commandments from Kentucky schools. The reasoning, listen to this, the children's constitutional right has been assaulted by the presence of the Ten Commandments. Bottom line, public display of the Ten Commandments could induce school children to read, venerate, or obey the commandments. End of quote. Well, that was 1980. Now I want you to fast forward to 2025. Elected representatives in at least two states in 2025 have voted and legislated and signed by the governors of these states that the Ten Commandments should be hanging in classrooms in these states. Texas is one of them, Mississippi is the other. Well, in each case of those two states, a rogue judge who was never elected to be a dog catcher struck down the will of the people's representatives. Look at the string and the notice. So-called Christians objected to that. On the other hand, some of so-called professing Christians in the mainline denominations, I call them apostate because they're really what they are, they're apostates, have taken it upon themselves as this minister in mainline denomination, now they're called sideline denominations, in California, I'm going to put that up, as well as so many others, she's not the only one. They have taken it upon themselves to reimagine the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments reimagined. Because the caption in the news said, the Ten Commandments in their present form are too divisive. They're too divisive and irrelevant. And as one commentator said, what they want to replace them with is a cringe, super cringe factor. Now, I'm going to leave those up on the screen if you want to take a picture of them because I don't want you to come and ask me for a copy. I don't have it. It's right here. But I want to come to the $10 billion question. We used to say $60 million. Now, that's nothing. It's the $10 billion question. And that is your question. I know it is. And the question is, Michael, if we cannot be saved by keeping of the Ten Commandments, because we can't, then why are you so hot and bothered by these judges striking down the Ten Commandments? Great question. I'm glad you asked it. When you make such an issue of the Ten Commandments, when in the New Testament we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, why make such a fuss about the Ten Commandments? A great question. Now, I want you to keep that question in the forefront of your minds, okay? You promise me? You promise me? Just keep it. I don't want you to, because I'm not going to renege answering that question. It's a great question. Why? Because it is absolutely important question. It is a vital question. And so thank you for asking it. How many of you have heard the name John Bunyan or Pilgrim's Progress? Well, praise God, so many of you. Here's what John Bunyan said in the 1600s, okay? And so remember, that's the language of the day. the man who does not know the nature of law cannot know the nature of sin. And the one who does not know the nature of sin cannot know the nature of the Savior. Can I get an amen? What is he saying? Listen carefully, please. That because the Ten Commandments are given directly by God, this is not the Holy Spirit guiding Peter or guiding Paul or John or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah to write in their books, and guided by the Holy Spirit. Because the Ten Commandments given to us directly by God, directly from God, they reflect the character of God. Because the Ten Commandments come directly from God, they are going to remind every human being that's going to look at them that we are born lawbreakers. The Ten Commandments, because they were given directly from God, they're going to tell us every time we break one of those commandments, it's going to tell us every time that we are committing an offense against God. Because these Ten Commandments given to us directly from God, they'll remind us that God, not only grace giver, but he's a judge as well. And the two have to be together. And my precious friends, this is why they were written on stones, not on Egyptian papyrus. Are you with me? And that fact alone, and the fact that they were written on stones, should tell us that they will endure as time endures, that they cannot be changed or struck down by a rogue judge, that they cannot be modified by a rogue preacher, that they cannot be reimagined or rewritten to suit the fancies of modern culture, that they cannot be thrown out by the teachers' union. Now, here's the truth. Listen carefully. These Ten Commandments existed in the mind of God way, 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 way before he'd given them to Moses. I want to prove that to you from the Scripture. I'm not clever enough, but I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God. Because you want proof, right? You want proof that they existed in the mind of God way before he gave them to Moses. When Cain committed murder and killed his brother Abel, that was way, way, way before God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, right? Are you with me? It's okay, you can answer. It's all right. I know it's raining outside, but it's very dry here. Cain broke the sixth commandment. He broke the sixth commandment. And Cain was condemned by God thousands of years before the commandments were given to Moses. Second proof. When Noah's son Ham, if your name is Hamilton and you shorten it as Ham, you're not the same. Don't feel bad about that. Ham was one of the sons of Noah. When he despised his father, he broke the fifth commandment. That was way, way, way before the commandments were given to Moses. And as a result of that, he was cursed. And the descendants of Ham are cursed until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to lift the curse from anyone who would repent and come to him and receive him as Savior and Lord. Amen. Another proof, just in case those two are not enough. Let me give you a third one. The Sodomites, they were practicing sexual immorality. And as a result of that, their city was burned to smithereens. Why? Because they broke the seventh commandment. And this was hundreds of years before Moses received the commandment on Mount Sinai. In Genesis 31, Rachel was condemned for stealing. In Genesis 20, Abraham was condemned for lying. In Genesis 19, Lot's wife was condemned for covetousness. And the list goes on. You get the point? You get the point? What about in the balcony? Did you get the point? God bless you. That's all I just want to say. You get the point. That's all. What is the point? That these sins were condemned by God well before they're ever given to Moses as Ten Commandments. Why? Because God always, always, always dealt with his people on the basis of his law that existed in his mind before he revealed it to the world. And his law always reflect his character. Reflect his what?
Character.
His law always reflect his character. It reflect his nature. And that is why the Apostle Paul could say in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, from the beginning, God's law was written in the hearts of people. In fact, please don't miss this. I beg you, don't miss this. Don't miss this. God's moral laws go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of God, what did they do? They actually broke every one of the Ten Commandments. You say, really? Yep. Let me show you. First of all, they stole God's property. God said, don't touch, that's mine. They did. They coveted that which is not theirs. They worshipped and followed another god instead of the God who brought them into being. The list goes on and on and on, but you get the point. As a result of this, they did not only bring death and deprivation upon themselves, but upon all of their descendants, and that's you and me. I know what some of you are thinking. I can read minds. I can read minds. Here's what you're thinking. Michael, if Adam and Eve broke the commandments, if the patriarch broke the commandments, if many of the New Testament saints broke the commandments, what chance do I have of keeping the Ten Commandments? You want the answer? Read my lips. Zilch. Zilch. You have no chance. You have no chance. You say, well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, Michael. If this is the case, why should we even keep them at the forefront of the minds of everyone? Because first of all, they tell us what God's standards are. They tell us that God's standards never change. Never change. Not to accommodate to the craziness of the 21st century. Western culture. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Oh, please hear me right. Please hear me right. I know I'm dealing with something very, very strong right now, and I know that. I just want you to listen carefully, because if that's not going to bless you, I don't know what will. Because I hear some preachers, and listen, God in heaven knows that I can sometimes weep when I hear some preachers in the evangelical churches who say, because the natural man cannot keep God's standards, they either need to be modified, changed, or gotten rid of. This is not just in the liberal church, that's in evangelical churches. And they use the scripture, or they think they do, they think they use the scripture to buttress their arguments. So they say, look, isn't Romans 6:14 says that we no longer live under the law, but under grace. We see, by grace, they mean that you can sin to your heart's content, even if you're a believer. Grace will cover it. Grace will cover it. And furthermore, God doesn't care how we live. I tell you, there are times when I genuinely weep. My beloved friends, listen to me. That is exactly why we're in the mess that we're in. We just came from Europe, and I'm telling you, it is absolute no longer the place that once was. It started with all this, and we're not far behind. See, they call that hyper-grace. Just remember that word. They might not use the term hyper-grace, but that's what it now become known as hyper-grace, where it's now permeating a lot of evangelical churches. And what happened by this hyper-grace, where you can, you know, sin, 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 doesn't matter, God's grace will cover it. They're falling deeper and deeper and deeper in a worse sin, and that is the sin of presumption. They're presuming on God. Oh, beloved. The sin of presumption. Make no mistake about it, that in order to comprehend what the Apostle Paul meant in Romans 6:14, that we no longer live by the law but by grace, you have to understand what he's talking about, okay? And the words that he uses. You have to understand that in the Old Testament, there were three laws. The natural law, which are the Ten Commandments, which is for everyone, everywhere, all the time, all of humanity. But there was the civil law, and that civil law was given to Israel as a state, as a nation. Now, many of our laws have borrowed from the civil laws of the Old Testament, which is wonderful, but the state does it. Then there was the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law were given to Israel for worshiping God. The ceremonial law, let's look back at these. Himirat, please. The ceremonial law have been fulfilled completely and totally in Jesus. And therefore, they're abrogated. Why? Because these rituals were pointing to Jesus. The shedding of the blood of the animals were pointing to the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice showing, the pointing to Jesus' sacrifice. They were all pointing to Jesus. Now that Jesus came, now that Christ is here, they cease to exist. Sacrifices have ceased to exist because the very perfect sacrifice, the only perfect sacrifice, was offered on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, they're not needed. In fact, the whole sacrificial system has been suspended by God. How can he accept the blood of animals after his own son shed his own blood? The law, the civil law ceased to exist, but for a different reason, for a different reason. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a state. It's not a state. We're like Israel was under God. We have one king. His name is Jesus. And he rules and reigns over our hearts. Where? Where? How? By the natural law. Not the ceremonial law, nor the civil law. And that is precisely what Paul is saying in Romans 6:14, that we live under grace, not under the ceremonial or the civil law. They're no longer binding. Why? Because we are now bound to Christ and his cross. Can I get an amen? In Romans 6:14, Paul said, not referring to the Ten Commandments. Now I go back to the original question, your question. If you cannot, we cannot perfectly keep the Ten Commandments, if we're not saved by keeping of the Ten Commandments, why do we need to uphold them? Why do we need to teach them to our children? Why do we need to keep them in the forefront of our world? Well, I don't have the answer, but the Bible does. I'm going to show it to you from the Scripture. In Matthew 5:18, Jesus said about the Ten Commandments, he said, I tell you the truth. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not a small letter, not the least stroke of pen will be in any, by any means, disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now listen to Paul's rhetorical question regarding the Ten Commandments, Romans 3:31. Do we nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. We uphold the law. But the question persists. I'm not going to skirt it. The question persists. If we cannot be saved because we cannot keep the law perfectly, the Ten Commandments perfectly, why bother at all? Why bother at all? I told you it's a great question. If salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, why am I going to spend 11 messages going through the Ten Commandments? I think I'm getting close to answering your question. I know some of you are waiting and saying, when is he going to get to it? Hang in there with me. Hang in there with me, okay? First of all, you need to understand that salvation in the Old Testament and in the New Testament has always been, is, and always will be by grace alone. Are you with me? I know this kind of takes some of you by surprise. Huh? People in the Old Testament were saved by grace alone. Yes, I'm going to show it to you. They're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. No. In the Old Testament, salvation was by what?
Grace.
By what?
Grace,
grace what? I'm going to prove it to you from the Word of God. Before God handed the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, before that ever happened, what did God say? I mean, immediately before he gave it to them, what did he say? I mean, right before. Listen carefully to what he said. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the land of slavery. Question. Did the Israelites have to keep the Ten Commandments first before they say were saved? Hello? You can say yes or no. That's fine. Did they have to keep the Ten Commandments before they got saved from the slavery of Egypt? Was the keeping of the Ten Commandments was the condition for their salvation from the misery and the slavery of Egypt? No. They had not received the Ten Commandments yet. And so salvation from their bondage was God by God's grace alone. Salvation from their bondage was God's gift to them. Salvation from their bondage was from God's goodness and grace to them. Salvation from their bondage was God's unconditional love for his people. Are you with me? Hear me right, please. Hear me right. Hear me right. I know it's heavy stuff. I know that. But listen, it's going to get easier. They could have no more earned their salvation from the bondage of the slavery of Egypt than you and I can earn our salvation. Didn't we repeat this? They could no more earn their salvation from the slavery than we can. Hear me right. Had their salvation been dependent on the keeping of the Ten Commandments, they would still today knee-deep in the mud of Egypt. But it was after their salvation, that God revealed to them his character, that God revealed to them his nature. It was after they were saved that God says to them, now that I've redeemed you, now that I have saved you, now that I've rescued you, now that I've graced you, now that I've poured my mercy on you, now after I've done for you what no one, what you could not do for yourselves, therefore, live like a people who belong to me. Can I get an amen? Oh, by the way, here's my character. Here's my nature. Here's the revelation of what I am like. Here's my standards. Here are my absolutes. And the same thing happened to us in the New Testament believers. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're not, I pray you will be by the end of the service. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved by grace alone. I remember before Christ came into my life, I remember looking at the Ten Commandments and I was so frustrated as a young man. And I said, there is no way I can keep these. I am helpless, I'm hopeless, I'm done for. I'm desperate, I'm a lawbreaker, and I cannot save myself. You know what God said? You know what God said? Good. Have you ever heard God say that? Good. Good. Now you can come to the only one, to the only one, to the only one, to the only one who kept all of the commandments all of the time perfectly. He alone can save you by riding on his coattail. He alone can save you by when you ask him for his forgiveness. He alone can save you by having him to dwell in you in the person of his Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit. He and he alone, he's the only one who can give you grace, not only to save you, but grace to enable you to obey his commands. Are you with me? Oh, my dearest of friends, only after a person comes to the point of his or her desperation that they can't save themselves, they cannot do anything to save themselves. Only then, when they come to the point of realizing it's only by his grace, it's only by his mercy, only through faith alone, in Christ alone, only then. But after you come to Christ, after I came to Christ, after I gave my life to Christ, after Christ began to dwell in me in the person of his Holy Spirit, it is now. Now that you've been saved from the misery of sin and guilt that plagued me, now that you have been rescued from hell itself, now that you have been forgiven of all of your sins, I can empower you by my Holy Spirit to obey me. You're not getting excited? I'm the only one getting excited here. Now let me revisit this falsehood that I told you invading so many evangelical churches, that I'm saved by grace and therefore I don't have to obey the commandments. Let me tell you something. I know this is a generalization, but you'll understand, I hope you know my heart. As a rule of thumb, the person who says that is not saved. Is not saved. The person who says that is not saved. His heart has not been regenerated of what Jesus says to Nicodemus, being born again when God does something to us. The heart has been regenerated, changed. Oh, they may be church members. They may be deacons in the church. They may be elders in the church. But their heart has not been regenerated. I can get very emotional when I tell you this. As many of you know, I've been on the road for the last 3 or 4 years in crusades and evangelistic crusades, and I love to read the cards of those who pour down the aisle to receive Christ. One that literally just shook me to my core was at the Colosseum of Macon, when hundreds of people came down to receive Christ, and I was looking at some of those cards, and one card says, I'm 71 years old, who's an elder in my church, and I never knew that I must be born again. Jesus said, if you really love me, you obey my commands. If you love me, don't glibly say, oh, I love God and I love Jesus. In fact, there are some people who glibly say, I don't have to keep all these 10 commandments. I can keep 2. That's it. Only 2. That's all that matters. I'm obeying the Shema. You know what the Shema is? Some of you do. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your mind, your soul, from all your being. And the second like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all I need to do. That's all I need to keep. Those 2, not the 10. I say, wonderful, wonderful. Do you realize? I want you to think with this. Please think with me. That these 2 commandments are the summary of the 10. They are the. I want you to slow down and think about this. These 2 commandments are the summary of all the 10. You say, well, Michael, how come? I'm going to tell you. If you truly love God with all of your being, as you claim to be, you would want to obey the first 4 commandments. Right? If you truly love your neighbor as yourself, as you claim to do, you're going to keep the other 6. If you truly love God with all your heart and all your mind, your soul, you're not going to be preoccupied with some false idols in your life and be preoccupied with your attention and your time and your energy and your money. You will not take the name of the Lord in vain. If you love the Lord, you're not going to refuse to take 1 day out of 7 to focus on God, the worship of God, and the praise of God, and the thankfulness to God. And if you truly love your neighbor, if you truly love, you will honor your parents. We're going to get to that, especially for adults, adult children. You'll honor your parents. You will not deliberately hurt others. You will not cheat on your spouse. You'll not lie. And you will not lust after other people's stuff. The problem is that we're facing in our culture today, the problem that we're seeing in our culture today, we don't want God or anyone to remind us, to remind society, to remind anybody that we are lawbreakers by nature. Every one of us born to be lawbreakers, and therefore we need the Savior. And that is why they do not want to display the 10 commandments in public. There are so many in our culture today. Many of them are placed in leadership, whether it be in courts, in the school system, even in churches, who think, I'm about to finish, so don't let me miss you. There are so many who think that there is no problem in our society, no problem in our culture that cannot be saved and cannot be changed with good education. Hello? I'm all for education. Listen to me. I reached the pinnacle of education for a reason. Not that I'm really all that educated, but I had to get the tag after my name. Don't ever forget that so many of Hitler's henchmen had PhDs. They did. When I was doing my PhD in the early 80s in a prestigious university, I met barbarians with a PhD. Oh, my beloved friends, God's law keeps depravity in check. God's law warns people against wickedness. God's law discourages even the most evil person from pursuing evil. God's law ultimately would drive people to Christ. Oh, to be sure, the law itself cannot save you. Did you get that? The law itself cannot save you, will not save you. The law itself will not give you eternal life. I don't care how legalistic you are. I don't care how you're dotting the I's and crossing the T's. The law itself does not have the power to transform you and your sin nature. Oh, but the law exposes sin. And when sin is exposed, there's only two ways of dealing with it. Only two ways. Try, and some people do. Two ways. When sin is exposed, only two ways of dealing with it. Either to continue in it and receive the eternal judgment of God, or come to Christ. Come to Christ, repent of sin, and receive eternal life and forgiveness of your sins. And beloved, listen to me. Listen to me. This is the message that we all desperately need, not only for ourselves, but for the next generation. You know, my longing of my heart, whatever days the Lord give me, I want to prepare the next generation. The next generation to uphold the truth and not be swept off their feet by the current of culture. Would you stand to your feet, please? There are probably two kinds of people. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. And there are probably two kinds of people who are either watching now or right here in this sanctuary who would say, I am working hard. I am trying to get to heaven by pulling myself and by trying to obey the commandments, and I keep failing. I want you to repent of that. Come to Jesus. Legalism has never saved anybody. Grace does. Power of Jesus does. There may be another group who says, well, I am with those people who gave my life to Christ back yonder. I didn't hear a preacher says it doesn't matter how you live, just live any which way. Today you can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Enable me, empower me to live for you, to obey you, to love you with my whole heart. Father, this is your word and these are your people. And the Holy Spirit is your Holy Spirit. And may He, the Paraclete, touch every trembling heart, every proud and arrogant heart, and help us all to lift up our eyes to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. All of God's people said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Jim.